Father, we just give you our ears. We just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak, do in each one of us and all of us corporately what you would do. Because whatever it is, it's to our benefit. We thank you for it. We ask that it would bring glory and honor to your name. I bless your people to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a little while since I spoke. Praise the Lord. You know, I know you guys were blessed through the summer season and stuff. You didn't have to listen to me, but you got to hear from all kinds of other people. And I want to continue that. So maybe once a month or that, you won't be hearing from just one of the elders or that, but someone from the body that the Lord's given something in that you need to hear. I was debating on what to talk about. You know, life can get busy. And there's all kinds of circumstances in life that can take your mind away from things. And it's not always easy to just come up with something to talk about or a sermon, especially when you're in a position of responsibility before God and before the body to take the people somewhere. You know, we're not called to just camp out. And I was looking at what we're going through. I don't enjoy political seasons, but in a sense, it seems like we're always in a political season. There's always backbiting and finger-pointing and name-calling, and I don't know. I think the media has gotten worse in my lifetime. It's more opinion-based, less fact-related, and it's just not good, and I see a world of just complete division. And I see the word of God say, let there be no divisions amongst us. So I thought, maybe I'll talk about division, right? Division in the body of Christ. And you say, well, there isn't none. But I can tell you, if you polled Christians, they didn't all vote the same way. I didn't know the Holy Spirit was bipolar. I didn't know he had multiple opinions. I'm pretty sure if he gave you one, he gave everyone the same opinion. So somehow, we're divided. But I don't feel led to talk about division. I don't feel led to talk about what's wrong. I feel led to talk about what's right. So, there's this word I want to talk about. I'm going to lay things out. This isn't going to be for me, I don't know what's normal as far as a sermon. I really do like expository preaching and teaching. You know, you have a point, you have your points within the points, and then your conclusion hits the point, and you've nailed your point, and people walk away with the point, right? That's not this. I really want to introduce something that I think, as the Lord leads whoever's speaking, we can dig into the depths of it and really let it cement who we are in Christ, okay? But I'm just glossing the surface. And really all I'm doing is introducing a bunch of scriptures with which most of you will know because they're pretty popular scriptures. They're some of my favorite scriptures, but there's some depth to them that I want to gloss over. All right? Okay. They say, in our nation's national anthem, says, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I would say we live an absolute lie in this country because there isn't freedom. And I would say for many of us, even here today, in the body of Christ, we have not learned how to live free. So I want to talk about freedom today. I see more bondage in this world, in their chase for freedom, in their declaration of independence. I see more bondage in people in the church because they don't know how to live in what Christ has done for them. And I want to say this. I wrote it down, can't see it. God's kingdom is the land of the free. So I've titled this, Kingdom Living, Living Free. Awesome. Galatians 5:1. Never really understood this scripture for a long time. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I'll put it in my words. Quit picking up the junk that he freed you from. Stay delivered. Faith, stay free. All those things that used to bind you, they no longer bind you. Quit picking them up and using them as an excuse to not live how God's called you to live. Amen. We're so comfortable in those things that have bound us, as much as we like to complain about them, that we continue like going back to that well. He told the lady at the well, if she'd ask, he'd give her water that would never run out. Springs of living water. And we'll go back up to the back to the old cesspool because it's normal for us. In kingdom living, there is no sin. Why? Because it's been dealt with. There is no evil desires. There is no sinful nature. You're a new creation made in his image. Things are pretty cool. Now, I refuse to believe that I have to wait for some day in the distant future when I leave this earthly body to have a heavenly experience. There's no point in me praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, if it can't happen till I'm dead and gone. I believe it can happen for you today if you'll simply accept what he's done for you. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. It's not an empty promise. It's the life you've been born again into, living free. Genesis 2:15 lays out God's plan. I'm a bit excited today. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden. A long time ago, I preached a message. It says you're made for a garden. I'll have to look that up. I think it was pretty good. This is an important verse. You have to understand God's original plan. You have to understand the environment that you were made to thrive in. Put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now you have to understand the environment. It was a perfect environment. It was perfect communion. It was perfect fellowship with the land and with God, with all of creation, perfect harmony. What messed it up? Knowledge of good and evil. Now, God told Adam this before Eve was around, just so you know, ladies, you are kind of off the hook. You simply weren't meant to live your life based on right and wrong and good and evil. You're meant to live your life in fellowship with God. Yeah. You're meant to live your life doing the things that God wants to do. Why? Because those are the things that will bring most satisfaction to your lives. Amen. The fact is, you don't know yourself better than he does. So you don't know your heart better than he does. You don't know what's good for you better than he does. He knows best. So, man kind of messed it up. You know, I just need to know everything, and then I can make up my mind, and I can do what's right, and I can be righteous by my actions because they're right. I love the dialogue with Job. You know, Job's talking to all his friends, and he's saying all this stuff, and they're saying he's wrong, and God comes in and says, let's have a conversation. And God's wisdom made Job look foolish. to the point that he said, I don't know what I'm talking about. Then when the conversation's over, God goes to Job's friends and say, Job was right. Your right isn't always right in comparison to what God says is right. Might make sense to you. It'll make more sense to let it go and follow God. So Jesus provides all the answers to all of the problems that beset us once we came under the knowledge of good and evil. Kingdom living lives free of that knowledge. Why? Because there's something greater that surpasses that knowledge. Matthew 6:33, Jesus' instructions. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You were not meant to know good and evil. You were meant to live in his kingdom. Matthew 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about good and evil in the kingdom of God, because it's righteousness. What's righteousness? It's the ability to live free. Not be bound out if I'm doing the right thing. Why? Because I'm in right relationship with God. And I'm going to do things that makes God happy with me. Why? Because I love God more than myself. I want to please the one I love. I want to, you know, there was a time long ago that I met this girl. And for some reason, I just wanted to be with this girl. Sitting right here. And she decided to, like, move far away. And literally, I could stay up all night just listening to her breathe. I didn't want her to say goodbye. I didn't want to not be with her presence. You say, what does that have to do with it? It talks about my desire. My desire was her to the point that I had to go get her. You know, and thank God he was on my side because he had to convince her. I did a very poor job of it. What I'm saying is, you want to live free, have your desires aligned properly. In the kingdom of God, your desire is to please the king. Therefore, you don't have to question whether you're doing the right thing when your desire is to please the king. You don't have to question if you dance well. He's pleased that you're dancing for him. You don't have to question if you sing well or if you hold a tune. He doesn't care. He's pleased that you're doing things unto him. You're free. I'm going to go a long time. Okay, I'll speed up. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. I'm going to say that again. You lack nothing to live a godly life. No oh buts, no conjunctions, no ifs. You have everything you need to live a godly life. I talk to people and they struggle, and I'm like, you're choosing to struggle. Why? Because 2 Peter, his divine power, his power has given you everything you need for a godly life through our knowledge of him, not of good and evil, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he says, given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. How? Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. He has given you everything you need. So I'm more than willing to counsel you, but I'm not willing to listen to any of your excuses. And I will call you out on them as gently as I can. Because he's given you everything you need. The only thing he won't do is make you do it. He won't make you choose a certain way. He's given you free will. He's given you the right to choose. He even laid it out before all the people one time. I give you this day blessings and cursings and all these things. And what did he say? Life and death. He said, choose life. My question is, why do you choose death? We come to the Lord. We confess our sins. We ask for forgiveness. He cleanses us from all our unrighteousness and then calls us the righteousness of God. And we choose to live the way we used to live when we can live free. It's no other choice. No one can control you unless you let them control you. So what has he given us if we have everything we need? And we're going to scratch the surface here. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. And he's given us his life. I'm sure you can think of a lot more, but I think if we break it all down, you'll find a lot of them fall into these three categories. His word, John 8:31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, if you hold to his word, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So to be free, we must stay in his word. We must know his word. We must continue to let him bring revelation of his word to us. Never assume you know it all. Stay in his word. Oh, I struggle with this. I'll guarantee you there's answers in the word of God for what you're struggling with. I'm guaranteeing you, if you'll pursue the answers in his word, you'll get a revelation that makes that struggle disappear. The circumstance may not change at all, but your perspective of it will. You know, we sing that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Why? Because the things of earth will grow strangely dim. And it's true. Worship through your struggles and see what your perspective is on your struggles. Kingdom living is living free. Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, where is the spirit of the Lord if you've given your heart to the Lord? There's freedom. Doesn't say there's bondage. Doesn't say there's change. Says there's freedom. You know, this has been a rough year for me. Several people pass away. Upheaval in my life in a lot of different areas. Work, all that. I thought I'd be retired by now. You know, a lot of uncertainty, all these things. Could really struggle. Or I can look at the word of God, look at who's in me, look at what he's done, and rise above it all and live free. It can either entangle you and chain you back down if you want to pick it up and bind yourself, or you can live above it. Live free. To be free, stay in the Spirit. Stay in his word, stay in the Spirit. Now again, I'm laying these things out pretty generally because you could spend a lot of time just talking about his word. You could talk a lot about his spirit. And like I said, maybe we'll dig into this another time a lot deeper. The other thing he gave us was himself. Second Corinthians, he gave his life. 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So to be free, stay in him. I see so many people struggle. Sometimes I fall into that myself, thinking I have to do something to earn something so I can gain favor, or I can do what's right, or, you know. He became sin for me, so that in him, I'm in right relationship with God. I no longer have a struggle. Why? Because he overcame all my struggles. If I stay in him, it's about him. If I stay in me, it's about me. If you stay in you, you're asking for trouble. If you stay in him, you'll rise above your troubles. Living free, living in the kingdom of God, is living in him. And then I want to say this. It is finished. Some of you just don't believe it. You say, well, yeah, I believe it. No, you don't believe it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so it is. Not as a man thinketh, so he is. Jesus doesn't have to do anything more. He's done it all. You don't need a different Savior. You don't need another Savior. You need to accept what he's done. Living free is accepting what he's done. John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If you've given your heart to the Lord, you're a new creation. You are free. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. There is nothing, no circumstance, no other person, no demon from hell, nothing, nothing that can bring you out of your freedom except your own choices. You're the only one that chains you. Well, I get tempted. So did Jesus. Was it a problem? Why? He answered with truth. He's given us his word. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He's given us his spirit. The law couldn't bring us to righteousness, so he fulfilled the law. He's given us his life. It's finished. Live free. Now, I could stop there, but I'm not going to. Because I have a lot of verses, and some of these are just some of my favorite passages. I am not going to dig into them. Unless you guys want to sit here a couple hours. I was just seeing if everyone, we don't want to watch the Packers and the Bears anyways. It says nothing will bring us down. Freedom. That will stretch the truth of that saying, yeah. So, Galatians 5:13, we're going to go a little farther in that passage. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Stay free. Live free. Don't pick up all the things that used to encumber you. But do not use your freedom. This puts you in the driver's seat. You do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Well, I struggle with. Oh, you're choosing to. Well, no, I'm not. I don't want to. Really? I think you do want to. Let's look at your life. What do you do with your day? What do you watch? What do you guard? What do you let in your ear? I can go through a long list. How you indulge the flesh, and then you struggle with something and you wonder why. You chose to. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. You know, the biggest reason people leave church is people that go to church. You know, I say I'm an employer. I always say the only bad part being an employer is you have employees. You know, you can't be a leader without followers, but the only thing bad about being a leader is followers. That's why the Bible says it's to make a joy for your leaders. Yep. And, you know, as I was saying earlier, this political season, and you just know it won't stop. So I just, you know, I'm going to turn the TV off. I don't need to listen to the garbage. You know, start talking well about your leaders. Start talking well about this country. This is a great, great, great nation. God has blessed this nation. You know, the corruption in government doesn't concern me one bit. Why? Because his government's not corrupt. Somehow I think he has more control than we give him credit for. So I say, walk by the Spirit. To be free, stay in the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You have a thought that you don't want to get into your heart? Turn on some worship music and see if your thought changes. Having a thought's not the issue. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. I thought I'm free. You are. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. They say it's the hardest group of people to lead is a free people. You know why? Because there isn't a rule that's black and white. You know, my kids always played it well because they'd go to mom and she'd say, no. And they'd go to dad and I'd be like, no. And then I learned, what'd your mom say? There's not a rule in relationship. There's times and seasons in my life, if you're going to hang out with me, there was things we would not do, period. Why? Because that's the season I had in my life, and I didn't want to be part of those things. Not that those things were right or wrong or good or bad. Now I'm free to do some of those things. Most of the time I choose not to. Not that they're right or wrong or good or bad. But unless you were in relationship with me, you wouldn't understand the season I'm in. But you know what? Steve may have never went through that season. So how could a rule define what we do together? Relationship defines what we do together. Good. Living free is having proper relationship with God and seeing what you do together. I guarantee you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh if you're pursuing proper relationship with God. It's an impossibility. Why? Because he doesn't have that conflict. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Kingdom living, to be free, stay in the Spirit. Romans 8:1, another great passage of Scripture. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Am I having trouble with my flesh? You do not. I'll make this really clear. Live according to the flesh in the kingdom of God. You live by the Spirit in the kingdom of God. But no buts. Otherwise, you're going to tell me God's a liar. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. He has set you free from sin and death. I think of our brother Bud, who is a totally unique man, and who I deeply appreciated his unique perspective into everything. And death didn't bother him. You know, most of the time I was talking to him, he was looking forward to it. It's almost like, you know, I got the key. I'm not going to do it myself, but the Lord can take me anytime. And I think, you know, maybe there was just a third one that God took because he liked him, Bud. You know, Enoch just walked with God. God liked it, so he kept him. Elijah went off, and you know what? I think Bud was just on such a heavenly high that God just said, I just stay here. That's not a big deal if you're already in eternity. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I have a lot of challenges at work. And I've learned this year that I spend more of my time with the Lord just praying that I'd have peace. You know, it was funny because last week I had a rough week. I wasn't this pleasant, smiling, joyful person you guys always get to see on Sunday. You know, had a couple outbursts, and you know, yeah, just I was gentle. And I realized about Wednesday or Thursday, you know what? I hadn't had those conversations with God on my way to work. I had other things on my mind. I hadn't started my day setting my mind on things above. I hadn't set my mind on, you know, what's it like in the kingdom of God today? Because the kingdom of God is always life and peace. It's righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not based on circumstances. Set your minds. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, say me. He's talking about me? Well, you guys didn't sound confident. He's talking about me. All right. Do you believe it? Are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, have you given your heart to the Lord? Have you asked him to forgive your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness? Are you living for him? Is he Lord and Savior? If your answer is yes, then the Spirit of God lives in you. If the Spirit of God lives in you, you are not in the realm of the flesh. You're in the realm of his kingdom. In the realm of his kingdom, you live free. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, you have an obligation, but is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. That's a wonderful passage of Scripture that you could spend years digesting. Really. He's given you everything you need. Choose wisely. Set your minds. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But you have the mind of Christ. But, no buts. I struggle. He doesn't. What are you saying? Stay out of your mind and stay in his. Until your mind becomes like his. Which leads us to Romans 12, right? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Offer your vessel, this thing that, you know, sinful flesh, sinful nature in flesh dwelt in at one time, to God as a sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Another wonderful scripture that we're not going to dig into. You have the mind of Christ. Get your mind to align with his. How do you do that? Spend time with him. Spend time with his word. Meditate on it day and night. Think about it. Talk to him. Let him talk to you. Worship him. When you're having a struggle, put the struggle down and pursue him. You can't pursue both. Colossians 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. Quit resurrecting yourself. I'll guarantee you, every struggle you have is because you resurrect that which was already dealt with. I need deliverance. You were delivered. You were healed. You were bought with a price. Your life is no longer your own. It's his. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. If you could see yourself how he sees you now, you would live free. It wouldn't be a struggle. It would be normal. It'd be natural because it's supernatural. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. I want you to understand these big words. You used to. Walk in these ways. In the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. See, the thing that got us in trouble was knowledge. The things that cause us to live free is correct knowledge. Because it's being renewed in knowledge of who you are in him and who he is in you. Getting down to the home stretch. Everyone say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Set your mind to think properly. And the things of this world that once encumbered you will never even be a temptation. You will live free. See, he's not only provided everything, he's given you all these instructions and keys. For some reason, we just think we can live independent of him. Then a brother or sister come along to encourage you, and you think you can live independent of her or him. And God called us to be interdependent on one another. Why? Because we build each other up in the most holy faith. Crossing the finish line on my own isn't going to be much of a cross. If I have to, I'm going to drag you all with me. Freely. You are only encumbered by what you're going to allow yourself to be encumbered by. Last verse. Please stand with me. As I read it, I really want you to just start shutting yourself in with God and letting him talk to you, because you're called to live free. And he needs to reveal to you some of the chains you're putting on yourself, and you need to just come and lay them over to him. Galatians 2:19, for through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. You have been crucified with Christ, and you no longer live. But Christ lives in you. We can spend the rest of my time on earth, and I want you to find one thing that's wrong with Christ in this world. One thing. One thing he struggles with, one thing he's challenged by, give me one thing he hasn't overcome. Just one. One thing he hasn't conquered. There's victory in Jesus. This is really an encouraging message. You guys should be like, it's like you scored a touchdown. Of course, I don't know if the Bears have scored a touchdown in the last few games, but today's a new day. Today is a new day. Christ lives in you. The life you now live in the body, you live by faith in the Son of God, who loves you, and he gave himself for you. You want to live free? He's given you his word. He's given you his spirit. He's given you his life. I'll say it once again. He's done. You're just getting started. So Heavenly Father, I bless your people. I bless your people with truth, not the words I spoke, but what you're speaking to them even now. It's up to you to reveal truth. So I just ask that they would receive truth. I ask that, Lord, they would recognize all the snares, all the traps, all the trials, all the tribulations, all the circumstances that the world throws at them to get them to pick up that which you've already conquered. And I pray that they'd be wise to it, that it would no longer be a snare to them, that they would live how you've called them to live in your presence, free from every care in this world. Lord, and in so doing, that they would bring your presence and the reality of heaven everywhere they go. Because, Lord, the world needs to see you in your kingdom today. I bless your people as they come and seek your face. I bless your people as they go out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.